to Misunderstood, a podcast dedicated to better understanding MS and learning to live well with MS. I'm your host, Katie Sloan. Our usual reminders as we begin. First, I am not an expert. I'm just a person like you living with MS and trying to make the best of it. Misunderstood is based on my personal experience, what I've learned from my doctors, other care providers, and my own solutions-oriented research and pattern-finding obsession. While the majority of the information I share has been vetted by doctors, I am not a doctor. My intention is that you use the information shared here as a springboard for discussion between you and your doctor regarding your future care options. And lastly, MS impacts each of us uniquely. I hope to shine a light on a wide range of approaches and strategies for living better with MS. What you choose to do with that information is always your choice, and what works for one may not work for all. In our previous episode, we heard from my dear friend, creative entrepreneur and mindset master, Aaron Carey. I hope you enjoyed learning how he uses art and various mindset tools to live well with MS. Today, I'm joined by a newer friend in our shared MS community that I'm thoroughly enjoying getting to know, Amy Beheimer. Amy is, first and foremost, an extremely caring and resourceful human who has very thoughtfully turned her own MS lived experience into helping others in our community. Amy is a National Board Certified Health and Wellness Coach, a WALS Protocol Certified Health Practitioner, a pharmacist, and the host of the Habit Hub for Autoimmune Health podcast. As a coach, Amy states on her website that she can support us in taking control of our health and happiness so we feel better today and worry less about tomorrow. She's joining us today so we can get to know her a bit as someone living well with MS, and so we can get to know her as a coach and to hear about some exciting upcoming offerings for us that are sure to help support each of us on our quest for healing. Before we hop into our conversation with Amy today, for our gratitude portion of today's episode, I am grateful for everything that is blooming in our garden. We are nearing the end of daffodil season. They have been cheerful companions this past month during many dreary, storm-filled days. Now, the vibrant tulips are starting to bloom, and a few California poppies are beginning to unfold. The gazinias, which are daisy-like flowers that bloom here year-round as long as the sun is out, are staying open longer and longer each day. As I look around the yard from where I'm sitting, I see bright pops of yellow, orange, red, and purple. Add to that the cherry tree, ablaze with bright pink blossoms, and the nectarine, peach, and apricot trees, all starting to blossom in their own shades of white to pink to magenta. These pops of color are a daily reminder of how much I value being able to see color after losing color vision in one eye from a severe case of optic neuritis years ago. This why is what keeps me focused on my efforts to prioritize my health and recovery each and every day. I'll post some garden pictures on our Misunderstood Facebook page if you care to see them. Now, one really important part of enjoying all the blooms this time of year is to recall what happened last fall. Longtime listeners will recall that every year I add several hundred bulbs to the yard. Make no mistake, this is not just because I like flowers. As life becomes more challenging over time and the years pass since I was able to work full-time, I have a keen awareness that purpose is an important health-supporting necessity. By being intentional each fall and investing in my future happiness by planting more bulbs, I'm storing away cheer that I can harvest at the time I need it most, the end of winter and beginning of spring, which is the time of year when I've historically felt most vulnerable to MS symptoms and exacerbations. If you're like me and struggle in the winter, thinking ahead, what might you plan to do next fall to help you through the winter next year? In a similar fashion, even as I'm currently appreciating what's blooming now, I'm also preparing to plant my seeds for the year so that later this summer and into fall, I'll have even more to enjoy. I always plant marigolds because their milkweed roots are a natural underground pest repellent. Sunflowers are on the menu again this year, as are a variety of poppies and a handful of California native wildflowers. I'll also be planting a variety of herbs, purple potatoes, and onions. Most other produce we consume is delivered each week by a local CSA, which gathers organic produce from local farms. This actually saves us money since it's less expensive than purchasing produce at the grocery store, or even growing most things at home. And we're assured of its safety, seasonal variety, and also appreciate that it's less of a transportation burden, given that it's all locally grown. So, today, gratitude for all that is blooming and will bloom in my garden, and for the local farms who keep my family nourished with organic produce all year. What are you planting and harvesting, whether it be actual plants or other creative ventures? I'd love to hear your thoughts on our Facebook page. Okay, without further ado, let's get to know Amy Beheimer and listen in on our coaching conversation. All right, I have with me today Amy. So good to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a long time coming.
It has. And it's always so exciting to, you know, as a coach myself, to kind of talk with another coach, because I think we speak the same language and we're both so passionate about helping people. And you have just such a unique lens and a unique approach in the MS community. And I'm thrilled to have you here today to talk a little bit about yourself and what you do. And you have some exciting offerings coming up for people too. So welcome. And let's dive right in. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe before MS, and then your personal MS journey. Let's start there.
Absolutely. We probably all can relate to a before MS and an after MS kind of life. And so that that's relates, you know, I can relate with that. But I actually, my autoimmune story includes four diagnoses. So if you're listening, you know, and you maybe have a different diagnosis or more than one, I mean, these things tend to cluster. And, you know, they tend to have a lot of that underlying root of what's going on. So I was young, I was in my teens, and I was diagnosed with vitiligo, which is white patches on my skin. You know, at that point, I didn't think too much of it. You know, I was a teenager, it was causing some, you know, visual things that I didn't love, but I just kept on going. And then in my mid-20s, I was diagnosed with Graves' autoimmune thyroid disease. So at that point, I was through pharmacy school. You know, we'll probably talk about that, but I am a pharmacist by background. And so I knew about autoimmunity and I was like, ooh, this is okay. I have a second autoimmune diagnosis. So maybe I started to get this inkling, like something maybe wasn't right with what was going on in my body. What was I eating? Where was I, you know, consuming things like that. But I didn't change much at that point. I was able to take a medication and went into remission. You know, and then into my later 20s, I kept feeling like something wasn't right. And so I think a lot of people can probably relate with that kind of oddball symptoms here and there. They diagnosed me with IBD, inflammatory bowel disease, at one point, which, you know, ended up not being the thing that I was feeling was not quite right. And so at 27, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And it took a while. It took a lot of doctors telling me this doesn't look like MS. I don't think it's MS, and really standing up and saying, I think that what's going on, even though it may not look typical, you know, it really felt like it was. So kind of my autoimmune story. There's quite a handful of diagnoses. And since then, that was almost 12 years ago that I was diagnosed with MS. And so my after has been a bit of a wild ride, but I'll pause so that I can, you know, answer any other questions.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing about the autoimmunity clusters. It's so interesting how they, you know, arrive together. And I'm pretty certain I have a few other things that are undiagnosed going on with me too. So I just appreciate your vulnerability and candidness in sharing that. So I'm curious if you could share with the audience, what are kind of the major manifestations of MS that you've experienced?
Sure. Starting back when I was, you know, started to get the inkling, I actually used to be a runner. And when I would run long distances, I would start to get drop foot in my right side. And so I noticed I was tripping. I was not able to pick up that right foot. And it started happening after fewer and fewer miles, and it started taking longer and longer to recover. So I think that's what now being in this and working with so many people with MS, drop foot is very common. So sometimes I think back, I'm like, it did look like MS. I don't know why everyone was so convinced it didn't, but you know, back then when I was diagnosed, they were very hesitant to use the term primary progressive. And even now, you know, labels are only so useful now that we have changed with all these DMTs and various things. So I do have more of a primary progressive picture. So, you know, my MS journey doesn't have these relapses and remissions with them. It's more of a steady progression in terms of, you know, but I have actually been able to have reversal and improvement in symptoms in a lot of areas. So it's unique. There's some gait funniness. There's some weakness when I get too over fatigued and things like that.
I love that you mentioned that you've shown improvement over time, because a lot of people, when they get a diagnosis of primary progressive, think, well, this is it. Right. And that's really the impetus of why you're here today, because, you know, I love featuring people who live well with MS, and you are certainly that. You've found ways to work within that diagnosis. And also, I love that you're mentioning that it is just a label. It's a scary label, but it is just a label. And so I hope listeners today will feel empowered. And I know, you know, the deeper you get into your story, the more and more they will. Before we move a little bit further, you said something really important. You mentioned DMTs, and I think I want to take advantage of the opportunity that you do have a pharmaceutical background. And I'd just love to hear kind of your slant on DMTs and maybe a little bit about why someone might consider taking them, because, you know, it's a very personal choice.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel sometimes like conventional or traditional medicine gets pitted against natural or holistic or functional medicine. And so obviously having the conventional background working in a hospital as a doctor of pharmacy, I was very well versed on what are these medications doing for us. And in this space, like I said, I feel like there is not a ton of people talking about, you know, conventional and lifestyle. So you hear people say, oh, I'm treating my MS naturally. And it's funny because I say I'm treating my MS naturally and I take a DMT. So like, I almost really resist that either or thinking. Because if I kind of call my DMT my defense, meaning I have it on board, you know, studies show that you can decrease the number of relapses that are happening. Studies show that it can help with primary progressive MS, with looking at some disability progression. And so I call that my defense, meaning I choose to take one, you know, and I know that there can be side effects. I know there can be risks with that, but always weighing, you know, the potential benefit for me is greater than the risk. My offense, on the other hand, are my lifestyle, my habits, my environment. You know, what am I actively doing to do what I can to create a healthy body in addition to taking that DMT? Does that answer your question?
Absolutely. And I similarly use a two-pronged approach, right? It's not one or the other. I'm going to work on MS from every angle. So yeah, I definitely, we share that viewpoint for sure. And it seems like it's worked to both of our benefits. So go.
Oh, and one more thing about a DMT is often, you know, DMTs, people will want to get on a medication and start to feel better. And they're not really known for, you know, helping us really feel better day to day. It's more like we are believing that they are working to help for our future. And so that's where the power of the work that I do as a coach and that other coaches do, looking at lifestyle and habits, because those are the things that actually have us feeling better. Like, I have to tell you that the number one symptom that people, you know, complain about is fatigue and brain fog or that cognitive challenges. And I truly believe that those things are not present for me. You know, obviously we have days and ups and downs, but fatigue and cognitive function with these lifestyle things, it's so receptive and responsive to that, that really we can start to feel better actually with those things.
I could not agree more. And longtime listeners will know that those things cleared up for me in a matter of weeks when I started diving into lifestyle. Like, it was unbelievable. And it wasn't the placebo effect, because at that point I didn't really believe it was possible. So I was surprised, right? And thrilled. So yeah. So let's dive in. Let's talk about this, because when you shared your story with me before, you shared that, like, there's, you have a power thought, you have this like one thing that really changed everything for you. So let's start there.
Okay. I don't even know how I ended up learning about coaching. You know, I think that it's still fairly new, and, you know, coaches who, like you said, when we meet other coaches and we kind of get how cool and how powerful it can be to become aware of things and work on things, it's awesome. But if you're out there and like, you've never worked with a coach, that was me. And I learned about a coach and I realized, I remember the first time I heard, like, oh, our thoughts create our reality. And so when I say that, after I was diagnosed, the underlying thought that I always have, that I thought so much that I thought it was true, was that I would never be healthy now that I had MS, or my life would never be as good because now I have this chronic, progressive, debilitating, you know, neurodegenerative disease, all the scary words that are with it. And it wasn't until, you know, realizing and uncovering and becoming aware with the help of a coach that that wasn't the capital T truth, that my life could actually be better than ever with this disease. Like, that is my, you know, my aha moment of what started. That's really the after MS story, is realizing, okay, I can choose what I want to believe about this. And it's wild, because once you choose that and start looking for evidence that that's true, then your brain wants to go out there and find it. It wants to prove you right. So that is really something that over the past 12 years, I can say a belief that I nurtured to the point where now that is the capital T truth, and it serves me. So I let it stick around.
Beautiful. Couldn't agree more. Let's hear a little bit about your history then as a coach, because it sounds like that is something, you know, that you've gotten into post MS, in contrast to someone like me who did it in education for a long time before MS came into my life. How did that journey happen? And, you know, how did you become a coach?
Yeah. So I was working, you know, as a pharmacist, and I had the probably about 10 year itch, 10 or 12 years. And, you know, I like learning and I love, going back to school. I'm one of those people. And so not really wanting to go the traditional pharmacy progression route of getting your MBA and becoming a director, I really decided I want to learn about functional medicine. I want to learn about something that I'm going to use every day and really dive into something that interests me. And so with that, I went back to a coaching program that is connected with the Institute for Functional Medicine. And again, I met that coach and I was like, wow, you mean I could pair these two things of creating a space where, yes, there are things we can be doing, habits we can make that are going to change our biology, that are going to actually help us, help our bodies be healthier. Pair that with the mindset piece of coaching and the ability to do that inner work of, what are we thinking? What are we feeling? And how does that drive what our habits are? I just felt like that was such a missing piece out there. And so I just dove all in and ended up, you know, being able to become a coach, which I'm so glad I did.
It is the best. It's the one most wonderful feeling to be able to use skills to not only help yourself, but then turn that around and help others. So it's my understanding you've been working with people in the MS community for a few years. Tell us about that.
Yes. So it's been a few years, 3 years now. And yeah, I help people with really with autoimmune disease, any autoimmune disease. I tend to attract a lot of our wonderful friends with MS. Because, you know, there's a uniqueness to having MS. There is this shared experience that we have, that we deal with hard things, you know, and we deal with symptoms that are very real. We deal with losses that are very real. And so to be able to relate, you know, when people share with me after they've worked with me, a word that comes up a lot is understood. And I get that because, you know, we understand what it's like. This is hard, and let's try to choose to make it a little bit easier. You know, it's not this positivity blanket over everything. It's let's find the positive in the negative. Let's make room for both, because that's what life is. Life is both. I mean, whether we have MS or not, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. And the better we get at navigating what that looks like, I always say, whatever symptom we have, you know, whether that's fatigue, whether that's limited mobility, whether it's depression, you know, these very big things that we deal with, if we had a dial and we could just dial it down from, let's say, a 95 to an 87, would that be worth it? Let's say we can dial it down to a 60, a 50, a 40, like these little changes every day, they really, really do add up.
They certainly do. That's wonderful. So let's hear about, I know you're really into habits. Let's talk about habits.
Sure. So I have a podcast called The Habit Hub for Autoimmune Health, which I will be getting Katie on. So you'll have to come hear her on there. But really, I love habits so much because there's a few reasons. But one is they're so directly tied to our energy. You know, 40 to 50% of our day is done on autopilot. And so if we can become aware, again, there's that awareness piece, and recognize the things that we're doing that are actually draining our energy and replace it with things that help us gain energy. I mean, that's our golden ticket when it comes to living with autoimmune disease. So like the fact that they are literally the currency of energy is such a huge motivator for me and definitely the people that I work with. I'm gonna list a couple of my favorite reasons for habits.
Please.
I think I have like a top 10 and they keep growing, but I'll try to rein it in. But the second reason is they're science backed. So not only are the habits that actually help our bodies heal, those have science behind them, you know, all these lifestyle habits, but also the process of habit change is getting, it's published about, there's books about it. And so it's really just a matter of learning the skill. I always say the number one habit that everyone needs to make before any other habit is how to make a habit, how to work with yourself and, you know, understand yourself so that you're not making these changes in a way that feels hard and like you're deprived and like you're doing something that you don't want to be doing. And so I love the science-based aspect, given, you know, my pharmacy background as well. Okay, one more thing I love, because you paused long enough that I'm going to insert another one. But, you know, there is a Harvard researcher who he has these three macronutrients of happiness. His name is Arthur Brooks, if anybody else is out there and knows of him. But the three macronutrients of happiness, I just take them and I say they're the macronutrients of health as well, because, you know, it's hard to be happy without being healthy. But one of them is like meaning and purpose. One of them is joy. So making sure you have some pure pleasure. And the third one is progress and satisfaction. And so every day, what are we making progress on? How can we, you know, inch towards something and get to celebrate progress along the way? And so I just love that habits are a way that we can set a goal and work towards it. And, you know, whether we're feeling good or feeling great or not feeling great, we always can get that macronutrient of happiness by inching towards it little by little.
That makes me smile so much. Yes. I love also that you're talking about how important it is on the trail of wellness, or, you know, path to better health, that we more deeply understand ourselves. I think when I was first diagnosed, I had no idea just how important that piece was. And yet the longer I live with MS, the more I realize how much that self-discovery matters. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how that plays into our health?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the difference of, you know, if you're online, if you're anywhere, there's so much information out there, like do this, do that, you know, breathe this way, eat this. And if we're just taking information and not applying it to us and our situation, that's when it feels hard or it doesn't quite stick. You know, it really is it's like, I like to say, it's like a plant, you know, a plant analogy of if the seed of a plant is the thought that our feelings grow from, and then, you know, we actually have actions that are growing out of the ground in the form of plants and flowers. If we just try to take someone else's plant and plant it in our garden without nurturing that seed and what, how are we thinking about it? How are we feeling about it? It's not going to thrive. And so really making sure that, yes, there's a lot of information out there about what we can do to be healthy, but it only matters if you truly think that it's helping your health, if it helps you feel healthy, if it helps you feel hopeful, and if you're able to do it in a way that doesn't feel like you're being deprived.
Absolutely. I mean, our MS manifests uniquely in each of us, right?
Yeah.
So of course, our solutions are going to be different as well, right? So in your plant analogy and then your seed, like we each have our unique little seed and our unique little plant. And what works for you, Amy, might not necessarily make a difference for me, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's another way I think a coach who, you know, has worked with a bunch of people and has seen multiple manifestations of MS can really, really help make sense of what's happening in your body and propose some ideas for, hey, this seems like this would be a really good fit for the symptoms you're experiencing.
And the other wild thing is, not only is it different person to person, me today and me 5 years ago, or me in 5 years, she's going to need different things. And so, but if I learn that skill of listening for what I need, you know, looking to see, oh, how do I feel when I do this? How did this go? And like that check-in assessment of, again, the skill of making and breaking habits, then you get to keep doing that for each phase of you, because I'm hoping that everybody listening in 5 years is actually healthier in a lot of ways than we are today. Like that's my dream. I used to only look and measure health by how I was walking. You know, that was like my number one thing. It was my biggest fear with MS. It's still my biggest symptom and thing that limits me at times. But when I open up my lens and say, what about all these other ways? These lifestyle changes have my metabolic health is out of this world good, or my mental health is better than it ever could have been. You know, so really looking and seeing, what are we measuring as health, and making sure we take all of that into account, not just the one thing maybe that is first to come to mind.
Yes. Holistic approach, right? We are whole people. We are not just, yeah. Now I love, you know, we talked about DMTs, but you also have another acronym that I love that I want to hear you say, which is DMHs.
I do. I, you know, a DMT or a medication in pharmacy, you know, a medication only works if you take it. You know, if somebody's not compliant with it, then it doesn't do a lot of good. So DMHs, this idea of disease modifying habits, they only work if we're able to make them. They only work if we are actually doing them. And so, yeah, I just like that. It also gives the power to these habits that they do lower inflammation, increase energy. They help make our cells healthier. So as we're turning over, they're actually, you know, replacing and getting stronger. And I think it gives them the power that they're due. This isn't just a habit for the sake of a habit. You know, these really are the things that help us.
Super exciting, all that you have to offer to your clients. So let's talk about that a little bit. You have actually a free class coming up that people can attend if they'd like. Tell us about that opportunity.
Yes, I would love it. On March 18th or March 19th, if you're listening in real time, it is the three habits you need to feel healthy again with autoimmune disease. So this is based on research, really, what are the reasons that feeling healthy is a struggle, and three habits that can help us overcome them. So I'm super excited to share it in this way. And, you know, I invite anybody who wants to come listen, you will walk away with something that you can really hopefully put into action immediately. And, you know, I, of course, would always want to invite listeners as well to make me their coach and also come. I have a group coaching program, which is actually Club Habit Hub. So it's a little play on the Habit Hub for autoimmune health, but it's where we take these things that we learn, habits, the what and the why, and it's where we really make them happen together. And one unique thing that I just want to share about the club is I know with us living with autoimmune disease, energy spent on decisions is real. You know, we need to minimize some of our leaky habits, like making unnecessary decisions. So one cool thing that I love to offer when you decide that, you know, I may be your coach is that you invest once, and that's for ongoing access to me as your coach. And so if I love that if people are having a great month and they don't feel like they need to come learn and do exercises, then that's okay. You're not missing out on anything. But I want people to always have a come back to a place to learn, a place to be guided to take action, and a place to grow and be in community. It's a really amazing community, and just have access to coaching and get to experience what it's like.
That's beautiful. It's clear your investment in your clients' health and well-being, right? Long term. And I'm also really excited. I want to kind of co-sign what you're doing, seeing people in groups, in community. You know, as my history as an educator, I'm really big on curriculum and community because it matters. It's so much more powerful. And we've talked about how change is hard, but change is so much easier and so much more successful in a group setting. So that's really beautiful that you offer that in addition to one-on-one coaching, if that is someone's preference. But I just want to co-sign that because that is just so powerful, a powerful lever of change for sure.
Well, and you said my other magic word, like I think that we need three things. I think we need coaching, you know, and me too. I have a coach. I always say, ask your coach if they have a coach, because, you know, that means they believe in the power of always getting to have that outsider perspective. How am I thinking about this? What am I missing? What are my own blind spots? The second C is curriculum, because I like to say that I curate just what you need. You know, we don't want to be spending hours learning about something. We want to learn stuff that's useful. We want to be able to go out there, put it in action, and then have a place to come when we stumble, when we fall, when we get thrown off track, or when inevitably our human brains, you know, make it a little bit difficult. So the curriculum is really a launching pad to help. I like it also because it helps with the what and the why, because sometimes motivation is a little bit stronger when we understand what we're doing and why we're doing it. And then the third C, like you said, is just that community. And a curated community, I think, is important because you guys have all probably been in some communities that can either be a bunch of unsolicited advice or a dumping ground of every symptom, or maybe some not scientifically sound information. So, you know, really finding a community that is protected from some of those things and some of those pitfalls, I think can be really healing and really beneficial.
Absolutely. Yeah. It sounds like you've created a really beautiful space, and I can't wait for this course you're offering. I plan on attending.
Awesome. I can't wait. I'll be looking for you.
Oh, you'll see me there for sure. And so I'm curious, if someone's listening right now who's really struggling with their MS symptoms and just, you know, doesn't know what to do. Of course, I think the first thing is an invitation to your session coming up. But what else would you really like to say to them?
I would like to remind everyone that we can really trust in the tiny, you know, trust in small changes that add up over time. It can feel really, really overwhelming. I think, and it can feel like the things we do won't really make a difference, and really questioning that belief and questioning that thought, kind of like I had to question my life is always going to be worse with MS, you know, being willing to question what some of these things that feel really true are, and trust that tiny steps to get there really do add up and make a difference. And, you know, a second piece is support. I mean, support from family, support from friends, support from a coach, support from whoever it takes. Because, you know, we aren't taught this stuff. And we get support in other ways. We ask people to cut our hair. We ask people to do our taxes. I know I do. And so the more that we look at it as a gift we give ourselves, instead of this thing that things have gotten so bad that now I need to do this, you know, instead really just, a gift for yourself.
That is beautiful. Now, I'm curious if you'll share just a couple of those little changes that made a huge impact for you, just to kind of give people an example of what some of those things might be.
That is a great question. And just to, I know you didn't ask for a description of the Habit Hub for autoimmune health, but there are six key areas of our lifestyle that all habits fall into in one way or another. And the holistic nature of it is what's so beautiful. But one is mindset matters, which we've covered very well here. Second one is food as medicine. The third one is movement as medicine. The fourth one is rest and relaxation. The fifth one is connection. I always say that's my favorite. And the sixth one is good stresses. And good stresses are those ways that we introduce a bit of stress in a good way to help us come out stronger. So for me, I always try to think of, okay, what am I doing in these areas for balance? The ones over time that I think have made the biggest difference come from my neurologist when I first was diagnosed. He said, I'm going to see 30 MS patients today. All 30 patients are going to be different. He goes, but one thing's going to be the same. If they keep moving, they're going to feel and do better. And I will never forget that. So a body in motion stays in motion. So for me, when I talk about trust in the tiny, it's how am I moving today in some way? Is it a stretch? Is it a deep breath? Do I feel up for a walk? Is it weightlifting? Like anything to move our body? Is it arm circles? Is it push-ups on the counter? You know, but moving, a body in motion stays in motion. So even when it feels like it's the last thing we want to do, it is so energizing. And really breaking it down to the tiniest thing that you can do today is everything. So that's one thing that I've often, through the 12 years, put at the top of the list when trusting in the tiny.
You mentioned, you know, that one of your earliest symptoms was drop foot, and that one of your ongoing bigger challenges is mobility. And yet you have this clear focus that that's something you're going to work on every day, even if it's hard. And here's the thing that, you know, what would have happened maybe if you hadn't made that such a focus and put such concerted effort into that every single day? That hardship may have gotten bigger, but instead you're keeping it as small as possible. And I just think that's such a beautiful way that you can, you know, take care of yourself and model that for other people. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. And the other one I love talking about is food. You know, some people think, oh goodness, food, do I have to change everything? And, you know, again, trust in the science and trust in yourself. And so science is real clear on some things. How do we dial down that ultra processed food? How do we dial down things that are inflammatory? And how do we dial up produce and fruits and vegetables? So back to your original question, how do we trust in the tiny with that? Is it increasing the diversity by adding a new spice? Is it trying to eat two new vegetables this week? Is it, you know, really, you get a chance to practice 3-5 times a day with food and recognizing that, you know, every bite that we take can change our biology. And when we look at it that way, it just gets more exciting. And, you know, we're able to really start to feel the difference with that as well.
And quickly, right? Food is Absolutely. Fuel. And, you know, as someone who used to struggle with fatigue, boy, when I changed my diet, that hasn't been an issue ever since, unless I veer off course too much. And then, you know, the fatigue creeps back in. And so, you know, I just think it's so powerful when each of us has these experiences and we learn what our body truly needs and we learn how to give it to ourselves. Yeah. Just healing is possible. You know, there is no cure, but can we certainly improve our situation? 100% yes.
And if you're listening and like you get all this good stuff from Katie and her guests and you're watching people on social media and this feels hard, then just know that you're very human. Like these things we're wired to seek pleasure, to avoid pain and to not exert energy. So we're learning a skill to overcome our humanness. And I just, you know, I talk to so many people who they think they're the only ones that struggle with that because it makes so much sense. Oh my gosh, I want to eat healthy because I want to do this, but why am I not doing it? And so just love on yourself and recognize that you're human and that we're overcoming a lot. I mean, food alone, we're overcoming pure pleasure concentrated in these processed foods that make it hard. It's just, it really is a skill set to be able to decondition our brain to want and be able to overcome some of these urges that feel so primal.
Oh, yes. And they feel, you know, completely out of our control. And, you know, I would have really struggled with making those changes if I didn't have a coach of my own at the time really helping me through that. And so, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes people have a just different ideas about what a coach is, you know, and I'd love to hear kind of what your general definition of a coach is. You know, I often think of, well, gosh, I'm a cheerleader. I'm also a connector, right? Yeah. Like I'm a listener, I'm an empathizer. And I'm curious what other words you might add to that list.
I love that. So I think I'm part teacher. I think I'm supporter, sometimes accountability partner. I think lately, you know, what I think is really ringing true for me, the more and more people I work with, is a navigator. I think that, you know, we are navigating our health and our life with some uncertainty. You know, one of the number one things I know I feel and that others with MS feel is this fear of the future, or, you know, not knowing what the future holds. Well, none of us do, but with MS, we have some pictures that could be scary. And so I think that learning to navigate it is huge, and just being able to, be a place to gain awareness that it's impossible to gain on your own. You know, we're in this jar. It's hard to read the label from inside the jar. We're in our brains. And so getting to have somebody for awareness, getting to learn new ideas, getting to teach, getting to have a place also to feel some heavy emotions, to be able to process through them and, you know, let them be seen. And then most importantly, coach, is then when you're ready to take action, let's do it. Let's set what our goal is and let's close the gap and get there in a way that is nothing but love for you. Sometimes it's gentle love. Sometimes it's tough love. Well, you know, you decide what that is, but yeah, that's what's so amazing about being a coach.
Yes. Love it. Love it. And I love my coach. I meet with mine every week, right?
Yes. Yes. Same. Yeah. I mean,
it's a partnership, really.
Yeah, it really is. And it's kind of fun. I mean, now there is a national board certification for health and wellness coaching. And what that is, it's under the same umbrella of physicians and pharmacists. And so as it inches towards, it will be a profession one day. And so you will go to doctor's offices and they will have coaches because they recognize, oh, I'm sending my patients out to make these lifestyle changes, but I'm giving them nothing to equip them. And so as it becomes, more regulated and as it becomes, it's now already being covered by HSA and FSA, you know, there are big changes being made. It's proven to save money. It's proven to improve outcomes. There's just these studies coming out left and right. And so it is just super, it's super exciting.
It is. It is. Oh, well, we could go on and on and on. But is there anything else you'd like to share before we leave for the day?
No, I just want to thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for everything you do for the community. You are just a light of pure joy. And just, I try to collect lists of, I have a list that it's a document. And if sometimes it's hard to hear this because, if we're in a low spot and it feels tough, we don't want to think about the good things that have come from MS. But if you're ever in a space where you find one, I always say, write it down and keep that little collection to look at. And, you know, I have added you to that collection. Absolutely. Like getting to meet you and just getting to share with you. So I just appreciate you and all your listeners. And I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I know I'm really enjoying getting to know you too. And I think there's going to be more opportunities in the future for us to engage. So
awesome. I
look forward to that. Thank you so much for being here. We'll have you back again.
Thank you, Katie.
Bye. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed listening to our conversation. My hope is that you enjoyed getting to know Amy. And one, consider signing up for her free workshop next week, offered at two convenient times to learn about the three habits we need to feel healthy again. Two, that we understand the power of working with a certified coach in a curated community to support us and accelerate our healing as we trust in the tiny. And three, that we remember just how critical our DMHs are, disease-modifying habits, in terms of choosing wellness with each choice we make throughout each and every day. To continue this conversation, you are invited to attend the Misunderstood Flock meeting, which takes place on the first Saturday of each month. Amy is hoping to be there next month for you to meet and chat with, so bring your questions. If you're not yet a Flock member but would like to be, please join us. We are all people living with MS from around the world that meet via Zoom monthly to support each other and continue our learning on the episode topics. We also support each other through hardships and celebrate our successes together. You can learn more and join us by visiting our Patreon page. As always, I encourage all listeners to reach out with MS-related questions, comments, future podcast topics, or guest ideas via email. And lastly, remember, as we travel through life with MS, we're certain to hit some turbulence. We'll get through it, especially if we're flying together, supporting one another, and honking our encouragement. As always, thank you for listening, and until next time, be well.